Coming up, Dr. Helen Hiltz uses low-carb for diabetes support with Diabavita.
I'm Jimmy Moore, and this is the Living La Vida Low-Carb Show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Living La Vida Low-Carb Show with Jimmy Moore, episode 303. Today we have with us another one of those board-certified family medicine physicians by the name of Dr. Helen Hiltz. She is practicing out in the Scottsdale, Paradise Valley area of Arizona, and she is helping people who have diabetes be able to control it through diet. Yes, you're going to love this. They're doing it with a low-carb diet. How about that? She was greatly influenced by her own diagnosis with diabetes, and she's using a low-carb approach for controlling her blood sugar and insulin levels. And today you're going to hear her talk about a brand new medicine and diabetes treatment center that she has opened up out there in Scottsdale, Arizona, called Diabavita. And she's really excited about sharing all the lessons that she's learned about living La Vida low carb and how it can help control this really awful disease that has overtaken our country right now. So stay tuned for that. First, I wanted to tell you about the need to know who the best guests from 2009 were. As you know, week after week, I have the distinct honor and privilege to speak with so many really big names in the world of diet, health, and nutrition, and now I need your help. We're going to try to figure out which ones were the cream of the crop that we're going to honor during a special encore week of episodes, brand new shows with the best of the best from 2009. We called it Encore Week earlier this year for the best of 2008. Well, we're going to do it again in January 2009. We're a whole week, the first week in January. We are going to highlight the best of the best from 2009 with brand new interviews. So what I need you to do is to send me an email with your top three absolute favorite Living La Vida Low Carb Show interview guests from 2009, along with any specific follow-up questions that you would like for me to ask them, along with a brief explanation about why you are voting for them. Now, you can send your entries to livinglowcarbman@charter.net. I'm now accepting nominations through November 30th, 2009. Try to get back with me as soon as possible. And thank you so much to all of those of you who have already done this. I have gotten a ton of feedback from people who are really excited to hear more interviews from their favorite interview guests from 2009. So please keep those coming in. Again, the email address, livinglowcarbman@charter.net. And it's your top three absolute favorite Living La Vida Low Carb interview guests from 2009. Go to the show notes section at thelivinglowcarbshow.com/show notes. And you can enter in the search box any names or if you want to just browse through the backlist from 2009. But you should be able to come up with at least three of your favorite guests from 2009. And I look forward to it. Now, without further delay, here is my interview with Dr. Helen Hiltz. Welcome back to the Living La Vida Low Carb Show with Jimmy Moore. And today we have with us a board-certified family medicine physician in Scottsdale, Arizona. Her name is Dr. Helen Hiltz. She has more than 20 years of experience as a doctor in Arizona. Self-diagnosed with diabetes more than 5 years ago, though, she empathizes with her patients' difficulties with the disease, but she also knows that it can be managed to the point of normal blood sugars with the proper diet and treatment options, which you'll hear all about today here on the Living La Vida Low Carb Show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hiltz.
Hi, thanks a lot, Jimmy, for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit of your story. You were diagnosed with diabetes 5 years ago, many years after you've been practicing medicine. I'm sure that came as quite a bit of a shock to you.
Well, it was a shock because there was no diabetes in my family at the time, even though my mom was overweight and in her 70s. And I have never been terribly overweight myself. But what happened was my medical assistant I told her I was having a bad eye day. I couldn't see as well that day as usual. She said, well, why don't you check your sugar? So I said, let me see what my patients go through. And I checked my sugar, and it was 168. Checked it again. It was 167.
Wow.
So I got a glucometer, said I'm pre-diabetic. I'm never going to develop diabetes. But 3 weeks later, after a piece of cake, my sugar was over 200. So I knew I was diabetic at that point.
And it was a type 2 diabetes.
Yes, it is type 2 diabetes. And I had been chairperson of the diabetes committee in a town called Guadalupe in Arizona for a long time, and I thought I knew a lot about diabetes.
Oh, wow.
But when it was my own life on the line, I said, you know, the way we're taking care of diabetes does not work all that well in this country. So there must be somebody who's doing it a way that works so I can have a normal long life. And so I just started really reviewing all the scientific research, the books, the clinical studies, and trying to find somebody who is doing taking care of diabetes in a way that works. And I actually found Dr. Bernstein's book, Richard Bernstein's book,
right,
and website, and started learning about the low-carb way of taking care of diabetes. And that's what works. So now I'm diabetic for 5 years. I can easily get my sugar to go over 200, but I don't.
Wow.
And I do it just by eating very low-carb. So I'm currently not actually even on any medications. I
wow.
tried metformin, and I kept getting rashes to it. So metformin's a good medicine, but I'm not on medicine. My hemoglobin A1C is 4.9.
Wow.
I try to keep my sugar under 120 all the time. So,
how ironic a diabetes educator for so many years gets diabetes and says, you know what, everything I've been telling you over the years, it's not going to work for me.
Tell us. Well, it was a shock. Well, my first thought was actually, my first thought when I diagnosed the diabetes was I'm going to die early. And then I thought, well, that's what I really think of this. There must be a better way. And there is a better way. It really works well to eat low carb.
Dr.
And
Hills,
it fixes a lot of the associated problems with diabetes, too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we have a lot of thanks to give to Dr. Bernstein for sharing that information with us. But tell us what you were telling patients prior to your type 2 diabetes diagnosis. What would you tell a patient is good to help them control their diabetes?
Well, you know, we were telling everybody to eat low fat at that time and to control their carbohydrates. And the standard... You know, people were supposed to eat about 45 grams of carbohydrates at every meal and then take medication to cover it. The problem with that is, you know, 15 grams of carbohydrates, which is about a slice of bread or one corn tortilla, that'll raise my sugar 50 points. I'm from Arizona, so we talk about tortillas, too.
That's
right. So 45 grams will raise my sugar 150 points at every meal, which is, you know, not very good for my body. I thought, well, the way we've been doing things is they've studied this a lot. They know what they're doing. So a lot of the standard practice is good. The problem is if your blood sugar is spiking and bottoming it out all the time, and if your insulin levels are spiking and bottoming out all the time, it's just not good for the body.
Well, if this reaction is happening with people like you and obviously millions of others of diabetics when they eat 45 grams of carbs in a meal, you know, what is the ADA's aversion to limiting carbohydrate and recommending that as a means for controlling blood sugar? Now, we know in 2008, the American Diabetes Association said, well, low-carb diets are good for weight loss for up to 1 year, but they didn't really say anything about the blood sugar control and the insulin control aspects of eating this way.
Well, the ADA and a lot of other companies that make medicines and things, they say, well, don't worry, you can control it with medication. Go ahead and eat your carbs, honey. It's okay. We know you like them. Go ahead and eat them. And then just use medicine to try to lower them. The problem with using medicine to try to cover carbohydrates is we cannot estimate exactly how fast we're going to digest the carbohydrates. We can't even know exactly how many carbohydrates are in any given food because, for instance, the nutrition labeling, we're very lucky in the United States to have nutrition labeling, but nutrition labeling can be off by 20% legally. So if you're on insulin, that's a big margin of error for estimating your insulin. And then, you know, the insulin that we make, I mean, that we inject and the medications that we take cannot imitate the beautiful balancing job that the pancreas does when it makes insulin and other hormones to control the blood sugar. So you can overshoot or undershoot very easily with carbohydrates. So a lot of people end up with low blood sugar after they take medication to cover the carbs, and then they feel terrible, and low sugar is very bad for you. I mean, it can cause a heart attack. It can cause, you know, strokes. It can cause accidents. So the problem to me with covering carbohydrates with medication is the lows and the highs. You're just not in a good balance. And if you don't eat the carbohydrates in the first place, you're not spiking your sugars and bottoming out later.
Exactly. And it's not natural to have to do it, basically medicate to make up for the poor habits that you're doing. It's so bass ackwards, Dr. Hiltz. I can't even think straight with something like that. It's like, wouldn't you want to have a natural dietary means for controlling this disease rather than saying, yeah, go ahead and do the thing that's going to kill you, but this will hopefully cover up for that transgression?
Right. It is absolutely best to do it in the natural way to get the body back into its natural balance. But a lot of people say, yeah, but eating carbohydrates is natural. The problem is they ate their lifetime supply of carbohydrates early in their life.
Yeah.
They wore out, burnt out all their beta cells. Beta cells are the cells in the pancreas that make insulin. So they just made them, they worked them to death, and there aren't enough left to do the job anymore. So if you have worn out all your beta cells, you can't, you know, You've just eaten all your carbs already. That's the problem. So I think a lot of people say, but it's not natural not to eat carbohydrates. But, you know, if you ate a lifetime supply, you know, you've taken care of that. And it's very, yeah, I eat very naturally. I try to eat food the way God made it in the first place. I just know that I can no longer eat the carbohydrates unless I eat small portions of carbohydrates right before I exercise. You know, if I go on a hike, I could get to eat potato chips.
Right.
Not that many, but a few, you know, but that's it. Then if I'm going to exercise, those carbohydrates, the sugar and starch, go straight to my muscles and get burned as fuel, and they don't make my sugar spike, and they don't make my insulin levels go wacko on me.
Right.
So
as a type 2 diabetic who eats a very low-carb diet, give us a sample menu of what you eat in a day, Dr. Hiltz.
Well, in the morning, I make a smoothie with 2 eggs. I put a little bit of 100% cranberry juice, like less than an ounce, because mm-hmm. it's a very intense flavor.
Right.
And it's only got a couple grams of carbs in it, like 2.
Right.
And I use some very low-carb yogurt. I get it from Trader Joe's, actually. But and I love a little cinnamon in there and a little stevia. And so that's my breakfast, usually. And for lunch, I'll just chop up whatever vegetables I happen to have and put some kind of sauce on them. And it's either a salad if I don't cook it. And it's if I cook it with the sauce on it, then it's, you know, it's cooked.
Right, like
and
a
I
stew.
Have some protein in there, either
right.
chicken or I chop up some hard-boiled eggs or whatever leftover meat I have from the night before.
Sure.
Or nuts. So, and then dinner's basically the same thing. It's just vegetables and protein. Is what I eat, and they're low-carb vegetables. No roots, no fruits, no grains, and no milk. That's the basic principle.
So when you're explaining this diet to your patients, Dr. Hiltz, do they give you kind of funny looks, or do they say, wow, that's a diet?
Well, they do, yeah, you tell them they get to eat cheese, and they get to eat, you know, eggs and things like that, and I explain to them that insulin resistance and high insulin levels actually raise your cholesterol and your triglycerides. It's not the fat that does it. It's your insulin resistance and high insulin levels. And you can affect those actually minute by minute. I mean, if you're overweight, you have insulin resistance. But there are a lot of ways we increase our insulin resistance in a matter of minutes or hours that can be stopped. So my cholesterol dropped. It went from 185 to 150. As soon as I went low carbon, I eat 18 jumbo eggs a week and eat all the cheese I want.
And I would be willing to bet your HDL actually went up while your LDL went down a more significant percentage.
That's right. Yep. Yep. HDL is like 79 or 85
wow.
or a couple of the numbers it's been. So.
And triglycerides well below 100.
Yes. Triglycerides
wow.
are great. No, my numbers are great. And they're certainly better than they were, you know, before I went low carb.
Sure.
So, and I've had quite a few patients. Sometimes it takes a while to convince somebody to go low carb, but when they finally do, they feel so much better within a week because their sugars are normalized. And I have one guy, he was on 4 blood pressure medicines, Lipitor and diabetes medications. As soon as I put him low carb, I said, you know, we cut his diabetes medications way down. You leave the metformin the same, but everything else you have to cut way down or your sugar bottoms out. He came back in 2 months, and his blood pressure was so low I had to take him off 2 of his blood pressure medicines and reduce his Lipitor dose for his cholesterol. A month later, he came back. He went from 4 blood pressure medications to 1 low-dose blood pressure medication and totally off Lipitor and only on metformin. So he went down from about 8 medicines to 2, and he felt great. He looked great, you know. It's amazing. He was also exercising. I mean, exercise is important. And any activity is great, you know.
Right.
But it's just beautiful and amazing to me to see. So that's why I started this new practice. I mean, I've been in family medicine for 23 years. And when I realized people just don't know how their bodies work and how to take care of them in a way that works, and I've figured out how to teach people about their body in ways that helps them be willing to try things and to actually take good care of themselves. So that's why I started this practice.
Well, let's tell them about the practice. It's called, and I love this name, Diabavita, which is like living with diabetes, I guess, it's kind of like my living La Vida low carb kind of thing.
Right, but Vita also means life, you know,
yes.
I mean like lively life.
Yeah. Oh, vitality, I got you.
Vitality, yep.
I got you. Yep. That's neat. Well, it's a family medicine and diabetes treatment center practice in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you only just created the website and opened the office in early August. So I'm really pleased to be able to share this with the people who may live in that area. And there's all kinds of resources on that website, so definitely go check it out, diabevisinvictorita.com. Now, let's get into some of those issues that people have with going on a low-carb diet, Dr. Hiltz. What are some of the aversions? Is it the fat issue?
I think the worst part is the carb craving. I mean, people crave carbohydrates. When you eat carbohydrates, it makes your insulin levels skyrocket in a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And people have insulin resistance, like people who are overweight, or actually if your sugar's high, they make up to 4 times as much insulin when they can still make insulin. They're making huge amounts of insulin for hours longer than they should, and insulin makes you hungry. And high levels of insulin also store fat like crazy and won't let you use the fat that you already have on your body, won't let you break it down to use as fuel. So you eat carbohydrates, your insulin levels skyrocket. When the insulin finally kicks in, your blood sugar drops and you're really hungry.
Yeah.
And you're hungry for more carbohydrates. If your blood sugar's low, you are hungry for carbohydrates. It's because your brain does not like low blood sugar. The brain needs a certain level of blood sugar to function right, and if your blood sugar actually gets less than 40, then brain cells start to die. If your blood sugars start to drop, the brain says, I don't like this. You better not let my blood sugar go too low. And the brain starts demanding that you do something to raise your blood sugar, which is to eat carbohydrates because that raises your blood sugar really fast. So you get this terrific craving for carbohydrates. And you will lie to your mother. You'll drive 10 miles to Circle K, 7-Eleven, whatever you call it. You know, you will do everything you can to get some carbohydrates. It's not a moral issue. It's your brain saying, you're not going to let me die. You're not going to let my cells die. And demanding carbohydrates to take care of that low blood sugar.
So when those vicious cravings come on, Dr. Hiltz, which is better? Is it to eat protein or more fat or kind of a combination of both?
Whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, you should eat some protein because your body can make blood sugar out of protein quicker than it can out of fat.
Right.
So you should eat protein and fat if you want to. As soon as you are realizing you're starting to get hungry, especially as you're trying to come off of carbohydrates, you just stop the carbohydrates. I don't recommend tapering off because it doesn't work very well because you're still making too much insulin. So I recommend you stop the carbohydrates, and if you're on insulin or one of the diabetes medications, you need to cut those immediately. But you stop the carbohydrates every time you're hungry, you eat. So you don't say, well, I can resist this, because after half hour, an hour, you're not going to be able to resist the hunger, and you will go get carbohydrates.
Right.
So I think that's one of the biggest, the hardest problems is the carb craving. But if you eat immediately when you're hungry and you just keep eating, those first couple days, 3 days, you may eat 10 times a day. But you keep your brain happy and your stomach happy, and the craving goes away very fast.
And you're not worried about calories?
No, because your hunger goes way down. And so, I mean, I don't eat large amounts of fat. You need some fat to be satisfied. But if you're trying to lose weight, at first when you're going low carb, just don't worry about it. Just eat so that your body feels satisfied. But to lose weight, it's good to not eat a lot of fat, a lot of oil, or, you know, I get low-fat cheese generally, although I also eat regular cheese. But total calories make some difference, but it's not nearly as important as getting those insulin levels down and getting the carb craving gone. That's the best way to lose weight.
Right. Now, why is it when people are diagnosed with a disease like type 2 diabetes, Dr. Hiltz, why is it that they don't know anything about it? Are we not educating the public well enough to have them understand exactly what is happening inside their bodies when they eat?
Well, a lot of people don't want to know. know.
What's that Twinkie doing to me? Yeah.
But, I mean, there's been a lot of information for a long time about things. But I think I find that when I explain to people what high blood sugar is mechanically doing mm-hmm. to the cells and molecules in their body and what the high insulin levels are mechanically doing to the to inside their body, it helps them. When they have a picture of it in their mind, they can take a lot better care of it. So I usually explain sugar is a little molecule. It's only got 6 carbons. It's a little tiny molecule. It exists either as a ring or as it opens up, and it's a very reactive little molecule. And a molecule is just the smallest piece of something that still is that thing. So you break a sugar molecule in half, it's not sugar anymore. But protein molecules are these. They've got hundreds, even thousands of carbons and other atoms in them. They're little machines that do the work of the body, and they actually open and close and move and communicate with each other and connect with each other. And that little reactive sugar molecule will glom on to protein molecules and gum them up so they can't work right. So the little machine is stuck to itself or stuck to other protein molecules and just can't work right. And that's actually what is happening mechanically in the body. And that's hemoglobin A1C tells you how many sugar molecules are stuck onto the hemoglobin molecule. So the hemoglobin carries oxygen, and it has 4 little arms on it that open up, grab the oxygen in the lungs, close around the oxygen, and then the blood carries the hemoglobin like to the muscles, to your brain, wherever. The molecule opens up and drops off the oxygen, and then the blood carries the hemoglobin molecule back to the, you know, lungs again. And it turns out that when sugar gloms onto the hemoglobin molecule, it does it near where it actually grabs the oxygen. So it could, I don't know if it actually does, but it could affect the actual mechanical function of that molecule. We know it affects the mechanical function of lots of molecules in the body. Mm. So, and that happens anything over 120, that's happening more and more. And the other thing that happens is if your sugar is over 160, you're actually gluing molecules together with sugar. And it's called cross-linking. And cross-linking is how you make plastic out of oil. You take these freely moving oil molecules and you cross-link them, you hook them together, and you end up with plastic. And plastic's great stuff. You can put it in whatever shape you want. It stays there. It doesn't interact with anything, doesn't change. So that's great for storing things.
Just not
very good
in
a living body. No, not in the body. And they have actually extracted a gooey brown plastic out of the legs of poorly controlled diabetics.
No way.
And it's just a whole bunch of different molecules all glued together with sugar.
Oh, that is wicked.
It is. And it actually, you shine a special light on it, fluoresces yellow. I mean, so don't turn your body into plastic. Don't let your sugar go high. You know?
There's some people like to put plastic on the outside, but plastic on the inside, that's a little ridiculous. So,
yeah,
wow.
It's bad.
Wow.
But that explains, I mean, that's how it damages the nerve cells, the kidneys, the retina, the heart muscle cells, you know, the lining of the arteries. That's part of the damage that, high sugar does.
Well, you had a unique opportunity to go and see Dr. Richard Bernstein's practice and how he was able to help people in New York State with their diabetes. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I thought about seeing him as a patient, but he said, well, as a physician, you can come observe me as I teach a patient how to take care of themselves. And I was very fortunate. I just kind of shadowed him for a week in his practice in Mamaroneck, New York, and he was teaching a young type 1 diabetic. And I got to learn all the different ways that he, you know, you can check for autonomic neuropathy, like the ways that if you've had diabetes for a long time, it might have affected your heart and your stomach and things. I got to see all the different techniques he uses to find all the finer, less obvious complications of diabetes, and also to observe firsthand how he teaches one-on-one with diabetes.
Mm.
And then also I would observe him as he was doing, you know, shorter visits too. But it was very interesting. I felt very fortunate to be able to do that.
Sure. And so now you're going to try to mimic a lot of those practices with what you're going to do with your patients at Diabevita.
Absolutely. I also like to prevent diabetes.
Yeah.
That's one of my goals. In this day and age, we are just eating and drinking way too much sugar and starch, you know, beyond what the body was designed to work with. And so we just burn out our beta cells really fast. I mean, I've diagnosed diabetes in teenagers quite a few times.
Wow.
But it's preventable, you know. So that's one advantage to family practices, that you can work with the whole family.
Yeah.
Help inspire everybody to kind of redirect things so they don't end up like grandma or grandpa or mom or
right.
sister or whatever.
Well, Dr. Hiltz, I shudder to think what I did to my body for so many years, because I used to drink, gobs and gobs and gobs of Coca-Cola every single day. And I think about 45 grams of sugar per can, and I was probably downing 16 cans a day of Coke. And not to mention all the pasta and snack cakes and you name it. I was probably ingesting upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 grams of carbohydrate a day.
Wow.
And so,
you craved it.
I did crave it. And the more I craved it, the more I ate it, the more I craved it some more. And it was just this vicious cycle. You know, people that say, oh, I can't live without carbohydrate. And I'm like, well, if you keep eating it, that's all you'll live on is carbohydrate.
And you won't live very long.
No. And it's a wonder I never got type 2 diabetes, thankfully. So.
Right. Well, I think, you know, the hardest thing is to convince people about the carbohydrate craving going away. But
right.
On my website, I have some drawings and things that kind of explain that. It is amazing how fast that goes away.
Right.
But you can't taper off. You just got to do it. And you know, so get yourself set. I recommend people try eating low carb for a week just to see, but they got to go all the way. You know, give the carbs to the homeless. They need it. They'll burn it off walking all day. You don't need them in your house.
Right. Or give it to Michael Phelps. He'll swim it off. So.
That's right. Yeah. Also, if I tell people, you know, if you got other people in the house that, you know, are insisting there's carbs, you can put them in a low cupboard somewhere. All the carbs go in one cupboard. All the carbs in the fridge go in one drawer, and they can get their own.
That's
so
true.
That you don't, every time you open a cupboard or the fridge, you're not staring at juice and
the beast.
Bread and pasta and crackers and cookies.
Right. Dr. Hiltz, are you familiar with the work that Dr. Mary C. Vernon is doing in Kansas?
I am. I've looked at her website. I know she was an associate of Dr. Atkins, and she helped finish a book that Atkins had written.
That's
had
right.
started, and I have read most of that book. Yeah, she does very good work.
Atkins' Diabetes Revolution, that she wrote with Jackie Eberstein, who worked with Dr. Atkins for 30 years as a registered nurse with him. So, outstanding resource, and it's certainly, I'm sure, a lot of the principles in that book will find their way into Diabevita one way or another as well. So.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Well, again, the website is diabevita.com. Visit diabevita.com. Well, Dr. Hiltz, it's been such a pleasure having you here today on the Livin' La Vida Low Carb Show. And all I can say is, you know, best wishes to you as you continue to try to help people in your area control their diabetes through diet. And, of course, we know that's a low-carb diet.
That's right. Thank you so much, Jimmy. You have a great day.
Visit our website at thelivinlowcarbshow.com and leave us your comments. Thank you for listening.
Disc of Light.